about as resistant to marketing as Native Americans to disease. So more and more of them were emigrating to Earth, where everything was prettier, and by and large, they could command immense salaries, because if a company had an Adar, even if the male, female, or transfer neuter was the training equivalent of a janitor, they could say they had an Adar working on their technology. Bill had fallen for that scam exactly once. An Adar Tech shampoo substitute. Basically, it was a comb you were supposed to use in the shower to wash your hair. Guaranteed to do miraculous things for your entire head region. He was still trying to grow the hair back. He had to admit that there was some great stuff out there that was derived from real Adar technology. Forget brushing your teeth. All you had to do was pop a nano brush capsule, crunch it in your teeth, and not only did your teeth turn lily white, but you didn't have to worry about halitosis for 12 hours. Then there was the entire electronic tech revolution. "Wait, got a call," Sal said, holding up his hand to the back of his head. "Yeah, Joe, Sal." "That's great, man." "Implants, though. Jeez." Back when they were the killer app, Doc had thought BlackBerry was a pain in the ass. The only way you could tell the difference between a raving street guy and a raving corporate attorney was the quality of clothing and that one had a flashing blue thing in his ear. But since implants had hit the market, people really did hear voices. Now you couldn't tell the difference at all. Of course, he was wearing a Varenthal earpiece, which gave him pretty much the same look as an implant wearer, but you could at least see the damned earring. He hit the menu again, and was amazed to see an Adar exit the door to the restaurant's kitchens, bearing a massive platter. That was the other thing about Adar cooking. The Adar approached their two daily meals with religious reverence. The most undertrained neuter home cook had more passion for cuisine than a cordon bleu chef. Each meal had to be both satisfying and a work of art. They were worse than the Japanese about it. So while Bill would have been perfectly satisfied with a platter of glangi noodles, what he got instead was a half a dozen dishes, condiments, sides, little crunchy things. None of it was particularly identifiable. He'd been to dinners at the White House that were less elaborate. "Methmar," Weaver said, nodding to the trans-newt waiter. The transfer neuters were only semi-sentient and did most of the mundane tasks of the Adar. Far smaller than the males, much less the females, the trans-newt was about 6 feet tall, with mottled brown skin, and three eyes set over a wide, flat face that was mostly a mouth with wide, grinding molars. Clashing with the standard Adar look, though, was its clothes. The Adar, when Weaver first met them, tended to wear something not much more complex than a loincloth. However, they had never dealt with marketing departments. While Adar tech had become the rage on Earth, human styles and fads had hit the Adar like hard liquor at a redneck party. The Adar was wearing an electric purple skirt and a blouse that was basically transparent. Under it was a tank top of electric pink. It was sporting huge rhinestone-encrusted sunglasses with giant wings on either side that made it look like an Elvis Valkyrie. It was also wearing an iPod. Given that it was assuredly implanted, and the iPod was at best superfluous, it had to be a fashion device.
"Welcome, welcome, welcome," the trans-newt squeaked, a terribly high falsetto from something 6 feet tall, and weighing in at damned near 300 pounds. "Worship, enjoy, taking care of business, nothing but hound dog."
So, it meant to be an Elvis Valkyrie. "Thanks," Bill said, as the being shimmied back to the kitchen. He sighed and picked up his tongs, scooping up some of the noodles. Bill Weaver had been a peaceful little scientist working for Columbia Defense, coming up with solutions to problems U.S. National Defense didn't even realize it had, when he got dragged over to the White House one rainy Saturday night to explain quantum physics to the National Security Council. A physics experiment gone awry had not only created a massive, on the order of 60 kilotons, explosion at the University of Central Florida, but it had left a strange anomaly behind. He'd just happened to be the nearest physicist the Secretary of Defense...